Blog Talk Radio.
Microgreens, and that's just a no-no. Live and learn. But I did have
plenty of samples to give out. So gave out samples and flyers and those types of things. And, you know, had a good reception. The one on tomorrow, on Sunday, that farmer's market is larger. More people come out to it. And so we'll be attending tomorrow morning. And hopefully, the way it looks, you know, I had people from last week returning to buy microgreens because they had gotten a sample last week or they bought, and they like what they got. So more and more people are finding out, and more people are saying that, you know, they will spread the word amongst their so on, and, you know, Yah is doing good things and great things. And so I believe that we will be successful in this endeavor if we can keep up. That's going to be the key, if we can keep up. All right, that being said, we want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the Internet in general. Those that are on the phone, and let me test your sister Rachel. How am I sounding to you this morning on your phone?
Good.
And about the phone. Yeah, I'm sounding
Amen.
Good to you on your
phone. Come on. I'm clear.
All right, thank you. I'll go ahead and remute you. I have gone back and listened to a couple of the broadcasts, and, you know, there were some, I don't know if it's my telephone, I don't know why it would be clear now, or what's causing it to get distorted. Maybe it's the music. I'm not really sure. But the recordings were not always clear. Which tells me that there was a problem either on probably the Blog Talk end, but I can't tell it because I can't hear what's being done. So anytime it's not clear to you, if you are on the phone, then if you would press a 1, if you're calling into the 516 number, if you will press the number 1 and let me know, that way I can address it, as we do want these to be clear, and if we want to record it clearly. So that being said, thank you, my sister, and I'm sure that if I wasn't being heard clearly in the classroom, then somebody would let me know. If you are calling into the 480 number and it is not clear, then if you will text me, you have my text number. I will try to look. Because once I start teaching, I'm into the teaching, and I'm not looking, you know, all over the place. But, you know, as we begin, if it's not clear to you, if you will text me and let me know, you know, I'll have my phone in front of me so that I can tell, see your text come in, and make the sound, see if we can address the sound, or, you know, do it afterwards. Trying to get everybody to move toward the meetings.glorytoyah site for the simple reason that's the platform that I want to use. It is owned by us. A lot of Hebrew oriented broadcasts, whether they're on Facebook or YouTube and other platforms, are being taken down or blocked. And so we wanted our own platform so that we can teach and preach whatever Yah says, however it comes out, and that we don't have to worry about being censored because we own the platform, say what we want to say. So, and I'm not sure that some of the problems that I'm seeing on the telephone line is not caused by the company itself. That's why I need to know so that I can go back and address it with them. And if it's being caused by them, then I can know not to use the platform any longer and just advertise, you know, where I'm going to be at. All right, that being said, let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. We go face to east, and as we go before the Most High, and we do our statement of faith. I believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments according to Ecclesiastes 10. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. 10,000 times, 10,000 times, 10,000 hallelujahs and glories to you, O Yah Father. We just worship and magnify you on this morning. We lift thee up, O Father. We glorify thee, and we bow down and we worship you, Father. Hallelujah, for you are our Elohim. And you, there is none like unto you, O Father. There is none like unto you. You are the only wise and true potentate. You are the only Elohim that there is. All others are creations of men's minds. Hallelujah. And so we bow down to you, Father, on this morning. And we recognize you as our Elohim. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here seeking to keep your statutes, your commandments. Father, as we go before you this morning, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. Mine's kind of all over the place this morning. Let us go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 8 in the scriptures. And this is always for the people of the Most High. 1 Kings chapter 8. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to their enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, we have done perverse, we have committed wickedness to thee with all their heart and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of the land of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy people Israel, and and to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep the commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. And as commanded, the sounding of the shofar. right. Amen, 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 amen. Before we get started this morning, I do need to do the necessary and greet all those people who are listening to us overseas, whether you are in, I want to mention the countries here. Give me a hot second to bring this up. The Most High is doing a great work to our listeners in Afghanistan, in Algeria, in Belgium, in Brazil, in Canada, in Colombia, in Denmark, Finland, Germany, Ghana, Ireland, Japan, Mexico, the Netherlands, Nigeria, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Russia, South Africa, South Korea, Sweden, Tajikistan, and Thailand. We welcome you all in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, and we wish you all happy Sabbath. We pray that you are able to keep it, especially in those communist bloc countries where you don't have the freedom to worship as you will. So we want to encourage you all and to all those who are in foreign countries and are looking for the truth of the Word of Yah, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus the Christ. And I left off United Kingdom, United States, and Vietnam, I believe. Anyway, we welcome everybody this morning. I would like to start off this morning in the book of Acts. And though I have the precept up on the screen in the room, I wanted to start with this particular verse, and then we will come back to the priest in the room. Acts chapter 14, verse 16. And this is Paul talking, and these are men who are worshiping him and Stephen as, or want to worship him and Stephen as God, as Elohim. Verse 15, he's saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living Elohim, the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own way." So in time past, the Most High suffered all nations to walk in their own way. He put up with it to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And let's get verse 30. "And the times of this ignorance Elohim winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised them from the dead." So the Most High winked at the ignorance of men everywhere in times past. But today, he's calling all men unto repentance, calling all men to holiness. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 16. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 16. It's written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." The Most High wants to deal with a holy people, a holy nation, a holy land. He wants everyone and everything to be holy, because in the end, this is what's going to be required. Cannot be around him and be unholy or unclean. So we're going to look at those things on this morning, because when he says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," he doesn't just say that and not tell you what you need to do to be holy. And the fact that it is in the New Testament for our New Testament readers only, then you got to understand that the New Testament does not tell you how to be holy. is referring, it is saying it is written. So you got to go find where it is written. It is not written in the New Testament. It is written in the Old, in Torah. So if you want to know how to be holy, if you want to know how to be clean, you must go back to where it is written to find out how chapter 8. The book of Leviticus chapter 8. Leviticus chapter 10. My bad. Leviticus chapter 10. We're going to get verse 8, starting in verse 8. Leviticus chapter 10, starting in verse 8. Verses 8 through 11. And Yah spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. To drink strong drink or wine in the tabernacle of the congregation was a death sentence. To come in there drunk was a death sentence. Because you have placed yourself in a position with Yah, which Yah says is not acceptable. It's a death sentence. So even when they're doing communion and they're using wine in the communion, in the church or in the camp, this is not permitted by Yah. But because we don't read the Torah, we don't look for what he says is holy and unholy, because we want to go by what the New Testament only says, then we miss out on these things. This is a death sentence. Okay. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation. This is forever. It doesn't change. Don't drink wine or strong drink in the tabernacle of the congregation, where you're meeting at. If it's a building, it's supposed to be sanctified. It's supposed to be holy ground. Okay, you have to do this somewhere else. Messiah, when they drank wine for Passover, they were not in the tabernacle. They were in a room that they had rented out or had been given to them. And that you may put a difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. This is what the topic is today. Holy and unholy, unclean and clean. And that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which have been spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. So we want, you know, there are some things that people say that I think that cause them to err in their judgment. And I'm not saying everybody, but some people. When they say the law of Moses, and so Moses created those laws and instructed the people to do them when it is commanded by the Most High. Moses, just, and they don't want to look at these instructions as coming directly or specifically from the Most High. That is what was the problem in the days of Messiah with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the law of Moses. And it is written in the law of Moses, not the law of Moses, the law of the Most High, given through Moses. And so we have to understand when we are reading these scriptures on today, even though Moses is the messenger, the requirements are from the Most High, the way we have to take them and walk in them. Go to Leviticus chapter 5, because you need to know and be able to determine between the holy, what the Most High says is holy, and what he says is unholy. You need to be able to determine what the Most High says is clean and what he says is unclean. Israel, of all people, have to know this, because this is what Israel was given to give to the world. His statutes, his laws, his commandments, to teach the nations how to be holy and how not to be unholy. How to live clean and not unclean. This is what the purpose of the priesthood. And so we as a priesthood have to know this. We can't just come into the walk and say, oh, we're the children of Israel. We are the priests of the Most High. And then we are living unholy and unclean lives. Starting in verse 1. And if a soul sins, now we're dealing with sin. Because you have to understand that there's certain sins that the Most High says make you unclean and that are unholy. If a soul sinned and hears the voice of swearing, somebody made an oath, and is a witness whether he has seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, if you hear somebody making an oath and it comes to your attention in some type of meeting or whatever, and they're trying to deny that oath, and saying they didn't say it, then you are to be out. And if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. If they don't own up to their oath that they swore. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, underline that, unclean thing, any unclean thing. Now, there are some things that you might not understand are unclean, that they're clean to eat, but when you're dealing with them, you are unclean. So let's read this. If a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, you know, like pork or duck or rabbit, those are unclean beasts that we're not allowed to eat, not even allowed to touch. Or a carcass of an unclean cattle, some cattle that died by some disease or whatever, you are unclean. Or the carcass of an unclean creeping thing. Unclean creeping thing. If it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean, and underline guilty. Now you have to ask yourself, what is he guilty of? He's guilty of trespass. You are in an unclean state. And in an unclean state, you cannot come before the Most High. So he says, if a soul sins, and then he starts talking about these unclean things or touch some unclean thing, you are guilty. Verse 3, or if he touch the uncleanliness of man, soever uncleanliness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, at all. And it be hid from him, you don't know it. When he knows of it, then he shall be guilty. So when we, you know, the thing that came across my mind, especially in the world today, okay, when we live in a country and in countries that don't follow these rules, that will do these things, go out in public, touch things, you come behind them, whether it is on public transportation or you're opening a door to a building, whatever, then you can make yourself unclean and don't know it. Because the word of the Most High doesn't happen to live in nations that don't follow these guidelines. It doesn't change the word of the Most High. It doesn't change its requirements. Because if you don't know it, if it's hidden from you, you shall be unclean and guilty. So we should always incorporate something into our lives, especially when we go out in public, that when we come home, that we assume, and I'm saying this, that we assume, and in this case, I'm going to say assuming is not a bad thing, because I told you, assuming, when you break that word down, make an ass out of you and me. You should assume that you have touched something that is unclean. Because the nation that we live in don't practice. You don't go out and you know that you are clean in your house, then proceed. If you go out, you go into a public place, you're riding public transportation, you're greeting people, if you're hugging people, doing whatever, you don't know what standard they're living by. And you are still commanded to be holy. So it don't matter what the land is going by. If you say you belong to the Most High, then this standard applies to you. It applies. Let's continue. Three again. Or if he touch the uncleanliness of man, whatsoever uncleanliness it be, that a man shall be defiled without, and it be hid from him, when he knows of it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips, to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that the man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, because he said, don't make an oath. So don't make an oath to do good or make an oath to do evil. With his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, if it be hid from him, when he knows of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. What is one of these? He shall be guilty in making an oath of good or making an oath of evil. Let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. All that other extra word, the only oath you're supposed to take is the oath of a Nazarite, that you're going to live a holy and clean life, set yourself apart. So being guilty in one of these means that you have sinned. You have trespassed. You have broken the word of the Most High. Verse 5, and it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. Now, confession is not new to the scriptures. It's not a New Testament thing because a lot of people come to me and say, well, hey, they didn't have confession in Torah. Yes, they did. You had to acknowledge that you were a sinner. And he says, and you shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. You don't just say, I have sinned, because sin is general. You have to name the thing that you have sinned in so that you can acknowledge, so that it's known, you know specifically, where you have trespassed. That's why when they say the sinner's prayer, and they don't name their sins, then they really do nothing for themselves. They may not even know truly what sin is, what the Most High says is sin. They're going by what they think is sin, what somebody told them is sin. But it is written. It's not something that you have to get at. It's something you can look up for yourself. So he says, you have sinned in these things. In that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto Yah for his sin which he has sinned. A female from the flock, a lamb of a kid of the goat, for a sin offering. Now we know we're not going to be bringing sacrifices as in animals today. But you got to confess this thing as the scripture says. If we confess our sin, he is true and just to what? Forgive us our sin. But not just any sin. He says, because you didn't know about it. In the day that you know about it. He says, when he knows of it. So you don't do this thing willfully. When you find out that you are in transgression, you confess it. Not a new concept. The problem is when we bring it over into the New Testament, then people don't understand that the Most High says he always stipulates whether you knew you were doing wrong or whether you didn't know. He says if you didn't know it, you still sin, but you can make atonement for it. You knew, that's a whole nother thing. That's a whole other thing completely, even in the New Testament. So we want to know how we're supposed to be holy. Well, he's telling us right here. Okay, and it starts off by being clean before him. Okay, no, not in any trespass. Verse 6 again. He shall bring his trespass offering unto Yah for his sin which he hath sinned, a female of the flock and a lamb of the kid of goats, for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass. He trespassed the law. He trespassed the commandment, which he has committed, two turtle doves or two young pigeons, unto Yah, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. The burnt offering is you recognize that you have sinned. You got to address that sin, and then you want to be at peace with Yah. So you will bring two offerings, one for sin, and the burnt offering was as a peace offering. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for sin offering first. Address your sin before the Most High first. And it's what the priest did. And wring him off his head of his neck, but he shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar. And the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. To offer the second for a burnt offering, according to the manner of the priest that shall make an atonement for him for his sin offering, which he has sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. And if he be not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that sinned shall bring for his offering a tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. Got to address the sin. Whether you are in these days, if you were able to afford a sheep or a lamb, if you weren't, then you were to bring turtle dove or pigeon. And if you couldn't afford that, then you would bring flour. But you had to address the sin. Then he has sinned, shall bring forth his offering, the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering, and he shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon. Don't make it look sweet. Don't make it like a peace offering and put frankincense on it. This is a sin offering. For it is a sin offering. Shall he bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take a handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar, according to the offerings made by fire unto Yah. It is a sin offering. Now, you did something you told, you made an oath you weren't supposed to. That made you in sin. That made you unholy. You touched something you weren't supposed to touch, some uncleanliness. You were in sin. You were made yourself unholy before the Most High. Being unclean makes you, put you in sin. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin that he has made, that he has sinned in one of these things, in one of these. And it shall be forgiven him. And the remnant shall be the priest as a meat offering. So the remnant of that burnt offering was for the priest. And the priest will make the atonement for them. And the priest was to eat it. I think on Tuesday night, I had asked the question, did the priest eat of the altar? This is how they were to survive. Living of the altar. They got their meals from the altar. And in some cases, they were to consume the sin offering, to consume the sins of the people, to be an atonement or the go-between for the people. Verse 13 again. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin, that he has sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him. And the remnant shall be the priest as a meat offering. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, and underline that, Yah spake unto Moses. Moses did not come up with any of these things, not even the law of divorce, on his own. The one time that Moses took things into his own hands, the one time he did it, shall we make water come out of this rock for you? Moses, I looked at Moses, what do you mean by we? Moses sinned in that thing, and it caused them not to be able to go into the promised land. Moses says, you can get up on top of this mountain and look at the promised land, but you're not going to take the people in because you have sinned before me. So if Moses can be banned from the promised land, from entering in, not banned from the kingdom of the Most High, but the Most High says, no, you're not going to complete the mission that I had for you. If he can do one thing and be banned from entering into the promised land, you and I have to be very afraid. We must be very afraid because we're serving an Elohim that don't play. Now, in all these things, the Most High is somebody touch something that is unclean. If somebody make an oath to do good or evil, it is sin. Verse 15, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through underlying ignorance. Now, I usually do this from Numbers chapter 30. But the Most High, he reiterates this over and over again. There is ignorant sin, and then there's willful sin. If a soul commits a trespass of my commandment and sin through ignorance in the holy things of Yah, in the things in the matter of the temple, in the things in the matter of the sanctuary, he'll bring for his trespass unto Yah a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimate by shekels of silver. Now, in those days, if somebody trespassed like this, not only did they have to bring a sin offering, they had to pay as much as the priest said they had to pay. That's why he said, to bring for his trespass unto Yah a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimate by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. So it wasn't just the animal. They also had to pay a certain price. There was a financial penalty for sin. And people don't want to hear that today. Now that you can buy your way out of sin, the Most High says, I'm going to also hit you in your pocket. Because people, you know, we understand when we can't pay our bills. We understand when we got a, you know, we got a financial obligation. And then Yah says, if you sin, you got a financial obligation too, such as the priest shall put on you according to the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that has been done in the holy thing. You came into the sanctuary in an unclean state. You have trespassed in the holy things of Yah. We're going to see this. See, we need to understand what it means to be holy and unholy. And he shall make amends for the harm that he has done in the holy thing and shall add a fifth part thereto. Add a fifth part. That means that there's an interest payment. And give it unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. So you bring your ram, the priest is going to sacrifice it. The priest shall say, this is what it costs in the shekels of the temple, of the sanctuary. And then you would say, okay, he said that was $10. You add a fifth part to that. So I'm going to add another two as my trespass offering. Now, this is not Brother Miles saying this. This is the word of the Most High. You know, we want to address part of it, but we never want to really address the whole thing. It is written, be thou holy, for I am holy. So we are reading this right from the word of the Most High. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of Yah, which are forbidden. Commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of Yah. Though he wist it not, that word wist means didn't know it, didn't understand it. Though he didn't understand it or he didn't know it, yet is he guilty. Ignorance is not bliss. He'll bear his iniquity. That doesn't just, you know, you don't know, so what you don't know don't hurt you. What you don't know, if it's in trespass of the Most High, you are still guilty. And he says your iniquity is still upon you if you don't find out and have atonement made for you. Or you come before the Most High and it confess your sin when you know it. So when we say, well, I don't know, I was ignorant of that, the day that you find out, he said, you are to confess it. And then in these days, you wouldn't bring a sin sacrifice. But you confess it before Messiah today. And you make atonement. Because the law didn't change. Only thing changed was we don't make animal sacrifice. But you have to make the atonement. So all we want to do today is confess. But the rest of what he requires, we don't want to do. Maybe we're not doing it out of ignorance. Okay. Let's continue. So you don't know it, that you are in sin. He said, yet are you guilty. Just because you don't know don't mean that you ain't guilty. And he says, and shall bear his iniquity. That means that that sin is upon you until he either sends somebody to you to let you know that you are in transgression so that you can confess it, or you read it and he reveals it to you that you are in transgression. But however it comes to you, until you make atonement for it, until you confess it, you are guilty and that sin is upon you. You don't get away just because you didn't know, just because you were ignorant. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimate of the shekel of the temple, for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance. Underline ignorance there. For his ignorance. Didn't know. Because I wasn't aware I was doing something wrong. Nobody ever told me. You never revealed this to me. But now I know. Concerning his ignorance, where he has erred and knew not, wist it not, knew it not, understood it not. And it shall be forgiven him if you do this. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against Yah. In ignorance. It don't matter if it's in ignorance. You have trespassed. And you need to have atonement made so that you can become holy again. Because while you are in trespass, you are unholy. Go to Leviticus chapter 9. Of Leviticus chapter 9. Start in verse 1. Leviticus chapter 9, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons, the elders of, and the elders of Israel. Underline that. Because you got the priesthood, Moses, Aaron, and his sons. That's the priesthood. Moses, the prophet. Aaron and his sons, the priesthood. And then you got the elders of Israel. This is everybody who's in charge of enforcing the law. Get the law or the prophet and hopefully amongst the priests there's a prophet. In these days it was Moses. Get the laws and the commandments from the Most High. And they give it to the elders. The elders were responsible to teach the people and to enforce the law. The priesthood is the go-between between man and the Most High. The elders enforce what the priests have taught them. The Most High gave the priesthood the law at the same time. But the priest's job was to take care of the tabernacle and the temple and to make the sacrifice, make the offerings for sin, for atonement. If somebody was to be stoned for transgression, guess who it was who did that? It was the elders. They enforced it. They taught the people and then they held the people accountable. Today, people don't want to be held accountable. You can't judge me. Tell me nothing. You can't enforce the scriptures. We ain't in our land. Any excuse not to do what the Most High said do. But he sent us back here from the New Testament to find out how to be holy. So this surely applies in the New Testament, in the kingdom of the Most High. It has not changed. Verse 2, 9-2, Leviticus chapter 9, verse 2. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before Yah. Why the ram? Why the young calf for a sin offering? As I said before, you got to address the sin first before you can come before the Most High. So if there be a chance that you have some unknowing sin, don't know about, they made the sin sacrifice. Now this is the elders and the priesthood for them. This is being done for them to make an atonement for them before they go before the Most High. And he said to Aaron, take thee a young calf of a sin offering and a ram of a burnt offering without blemish and offer them before Yah. Get right with Yah first. So make an atonement for the priesthood and the elders and then make a peace offering that you can approach Yah in peace. Children of Israel, thou shalt speak, saying, take you a kid of the goat for a sin offering. So the priesthood and the elders made a sin offering for themselves and then a peace offering. And now he's saying to the children of Israel, to the rest of the nation, take you a kid of the goat for a sin offering and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish, for a burnt offering. Make an offering for sin to clean the people of sin first and then make a peace offering to me. The process is the same today. You confess your sin, your ignorant sin, before the Most High. And then you bring him a peace offering. Your lips. Your love offering. Because as I showed you, for sin, there was a financial penalty to make the atonement. Also a bullock and a ram for a peace offering to sacrifice before Yah, and a meat offering mingled with oil, for today Yah will appear unto you. You want the Most High to appear to you? You want him to speak to you? Then you've got to address the sin in your life, that which you know and that which you don't know. Because he says, if you are ignorant, that which you do in ignorance, you still are guilty, and you make an offering to him. You confess, I confess the sins I know that I did today, and they better not be willful sins. Better be something that you learned about. And you make a atonement. You make another sacrifice to him, a peace offering. Then you can come into his presence. Then you can make your case known to him. This is if you want to be holy before him. But most of us don't want to be holy. We just want to be able to come before the Most High because he's the Most High. He says, I got requirements. I got standards. You want to be holy, you got to meet these standards. So let's continue so I can get through this. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the congregation drew near and stood before Yah. And Moses said, this is the thing which Yah commanded. Not what Moses commanded, what Yah commanded that you should do. And the glory of Yah shall appear unto you. All we got to do is do the same thing, but we don't make an animal sacrifice for sin. Go to Leviticus chapter 10. And I want to make some, I want you to go in your Bibles. For those of you who have the program that I gave you that gives you the meaning of the Hebrew word in the scriptures, screen on the computer on your screen, I've given you the definition in the Strong's for this. In the Strong's, you want to look up 85068. H5068, and that is the name for Nadab, one of Aaron's sons, okay, and Abihu or Abihu, H1931. Nadab means liberal. So if you don't have your Strong's right there, write down Nadab, the name, and then write down equals or means liberal. And then Abihu means father, in essence, worshiper of him. Worshiper of the Most High. So in the Strong's it says from H1931, father, in essence, worshiper of him. In parentheses, Elohim, a son of Aaron, Abihu. So Abihu means worshiper of him. When we put their names together, liberal worshiper of him, Elohim. That's what these two names mean. Okay? Liberal worshiper of him. Now, we're going to see what happens to liberal worshipers of him when you don't stay within his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, when you do what you want to do because you think it's right. You make yourself unholy. Okay? Leviticus chapter 10, starting in verse 1. And I'm going to take the liberality to interject the meaning of their names into the scripture so that we can read it with some understanding. And Nadab and Abihu, and liberal worshipers of him, of Elohim, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before Yah, which he commanded them not. The strange fire was that they offered incense at a time that they weren't ordered to. They were out of order. It wasn't that the incense was strange, something they weren't supposed to be burning. It wasn't that they put some type of mystical fire on it. It was simply that they burnt incense at a time that they were not supposed to be burning incense. And the Most High says, I didn't tell you to do that then. That's strange to me. It's out of order. So when you do what you want to do in relationship to the Most High, and he has not ordered it, don't think that he finds it acceptable. Because he tells us how to worship him. And he says, don't worship me liberally. So Nadab and Abihu, liberal worshipers of him, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before Yah, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from Yah and devoured them. And they died before Yah. You want to be holy? Then you can't worship the Most High how you see fit, how you want to do it. These two did it and died for it. They didn't get a timeout. They didn't get sent in their corner. They didn't get sent out the sanctuary and say, hey, you can't be a priest to the Most High anymore. Yah killed them for their liberal worship. And so if you have found yourself worshiping the Most High the way you want to worship him because you think that that is a good thing to do, then you may want to fall down on your knees and confess. Doing it unknowingly, your iniquity shall remain upon you until you confess that you have transgressed in this thing. Then he is true and just to forgive you. Now, after you hear this lesson this morning, then you can no longer say that you're doing it in ignorance. To do so after the day is to do it willfully. That which is right in your own mind. Verse 3, then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it, and I want us to catch this. This is it that Yah spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh, that come near to me. The closer you are to Yah, the more he holds you to the standard of being holy and doing what he says to do. Not the closer you come to him and the more lenient he becomes. We have a lot of us that want to claim that we are such and such before the Most High. And then we're doing things that he says, I didn't ordain that. I didn't sanction that. I didn't tell you to do that. And think that he's happy and pleased with it. When he's telling us, if you don't do what I say to do, when I say to do it and how I say to do it, then it's strange to me. That's not holy. That is unholy. And I will be sanctified. So don't think that your day is not coming. If you are proud and puffed up and don't want to recognize that you can't do this. Because I've appointed a day. With Israel, Israel was the eagle. This is how I feel about this. And this is my priesthood. And they're not just going to approach me and do anything that they want to me, with me, in front of me. If it's not what I said to do, I will kill them for it. Not I will give them a timeout. Not I will say you have sinned in this thing and go make a sacrifice. These two never got a chance to repent because they had been told. So they were doing this willfully. Let's burn incense right now. They knew when they were supposed to burn incense. They did according to what they wanted to do. Cost them their lives. And the Most High had already told Moses and Aaron, because Moses turns around to Aaron and says, this is that Yah spake saying. You were told about this, Aaron. You and your do everything exactly as commanded. Don't add to or take away from. I will be sanctified in them that come nigh, near unto me. And before all the people, I will be glorified. So I'm burning these two up in front of everybody so that they know not to transgress, so that they know not to offer something strange to me, so that they know to do what I ask to do, only that. Don't add to or take away from it. And Aaron held his peace. What are you going to say? He's upset. But he ain't going to say nothing. And Moses called Mishael and Elasaphan, the sons of Uzziel, and the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. Now they're touching some unclean thing. They're touching a dead body. But the dead body can't remain in the sanctuary. So he calls a priesthood, come and get these two. Carry them outside the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp. And Moses had said, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his son, the other ones that are still in the sanctuary, just saw their brothers and their son get burnt up. Uncover not your head. Neither rend, tear your clothes out of anguish, lest you die. What you got on is holy. Show your anguish or your anger while you are in uniform, while you're in this sanctuary, lest you die. And wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which I have kindled. Let the people mourn them. You on duty. You better stay holy. Because if you don't, you're going to die. Verse 7, and you shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die, because in your holy robes, in your priestly robes, you weren't allowed outside the sanctuary. You were supposed to change clothes. And right now you're on duty and you can't go outside until your course is done. You can't go outside. For the anointing oil of Yah is upon you. Now, when I was in the church and I was the armor bearer for my pastor there, and as his armor bearer, the way the Most High showed me, that's equivalent to like Moses and Joshua. Joshua was Moses' armor bearer. Everywhere Moses went, Joshua went. Everywhere my pastor went, whether it was out of town, I went. Every time he was at the church, as far as official duties, except for when I had to work, you know, and they're at the church during the day. But if it was after duty hours, wherever he went, if he was at the church, I was at the church. If he was at another church, I was at that church. Everywhere he went, I went. When he would be doing a sermon and the Spirit of the Most High would come upon him and he would be preaching, and after the sermon was over, and the people wanted to come up and shake his hands or do things like that, there were times that I would not allow him to do that. And at first he didn't understand it. But then when I showed him in the scriptures, and the Most High put it on me, he has the anointing on him. That's what the anointing oil stood for, the Spirit of the Most High. The anointing is on you, and they just can't approach you any kind of way. Lest they get sick, or they die, or you die. Because you can't just do just anything when the anointing is on you. This is what that equates to. And they did according to the word of Moses, and Yah spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, nor thy sons with thee when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. That's why I say you can't drink strong wine or drink. You can't drink wine or any drink, strong drink, in the sanctuary. That means that communion with wine in the sanctuary is forbidden. Messiah, when he did communion, he was not in the sanctuary. They were in a room keeping the Passover. But if you're in the sanctuary, if you're in a church, if you're in a building, anything that's supposed to be declared holy, holy ground, wine or strong drink, it makes you unholy. In the sanctuary, it is forbidden. Do not drink wine nor strong drink, nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation. And that you may put a difference, verse 10, and that you may put a difference between holy and unholy, and between clean or unclean and clean. Now, just because we have disinfect today, you know, people want to think that that takes the place of what the Most High has declared in his scripture concerning clean and unclean. It does not. Because with the cleanliness laws, and he says when you're unclean, it is sin. With the cleanliness laws, not only was there a cleansing process, you must wash, but you're still unclean for a time. So you can't put some disinfectant on, being in an unclean state, and then go into the sanctuary. And because we don't understand the laws of the Most High, people, I believe, and I'm going to say it this way because I truly believe this, that people are doing it in ignorance. But they still are in trespass, and their iniquity shall be upon them. Verse 11. And that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which Yah has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. And Moses spake unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons that were left. Take the meat offering. Now, again, we're going to go back into these offerings, but this is about procedure. And if you don't follow the procedures of the Most High and do exactly what he says to do, you make yourself unholy. You make yourself in sin. Take the meat offering that remaineth of the offerings of Yah, made by fire, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. So they're still dealing with procedural things concerning sin. And you shall eat it in the holy place, because it is thy due and thy son's due of the sacrifices of Yah made by fire. So, for so I, Moses, am commanded. This is what I was told to tell you. And the wave breast and the heave shoulder shall you eat in a clean place, thou and thy sons and thy daughters with thee. For they be thy due and thy sons' due. And this goes back to when I was telling you guys that they ate of the altar. This is how the Most High fed them. And thy sons' due, which are given out of the sacrifices of the peace offering of the children of Israel. So the priesthood and their families ate of the peace offering. If you brought a cow or a sheep for a peace offering, a free will offering, the priest ate that and his family. That's how they ate. Okay? Now we have a sin offering you're going to see that the priest on duty had to eat. Not all the rest of the priests, but the priest that is on duty. the wave breast and the heave shoulder shall you eat in a clean place, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, for they be thy due and thy sons' due, which are given out of the sacrifices of the peace offerings of the children of Israel. The heave shoulder and the wave breast shall they bring with the offerings made by fire of fat, to wave it for a wave offering before Yah. And it shall be thine and thy sons with thee for statute forever, as Yah has commanded. And Moses diligently sought the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burnt. They were supposed to be cooking this food, this meat. The sacrifice of sin, those things that Yah commanded to be burnt up, were to be burnt up. And then there were sacrifices that weren't supposed to be burnt up. They were supposed to be offered by fire. But then they were supposed to be eaten. So we got the goat of the sin offering procedure. And behold, it was burnt. And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, which were left alive. Now, the Most High could have just killed them right here. Because again, they are out of order. It is strange. But the Most High has already made an example of two sons. So it appears he chooses not to kill these two. But Moses is angry, saying, wherefore have you not eaten the sin offering in the holy place? Seeing it is most holy, Elohim has given it to you to bear the iniquity of the congregation, to make an atonement for them before Yah. The on-duty priest had to eat the sin offering. The fat was burnt up, and the kidney. Those were acceptable for Yah. But the rest of it, the on-duty priest had to eat it. To do what? To make an atonement for them before Yah. The priest took on the sin, and then the priest was forgiven. Understand the process. Behold, the blood of it was not brought in within the holy place, using it in the holy place as I commanded. And Aaron said unto Moses, behold, this day have they offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before Yah. And such things have befallen me. I lost two sons. They offered their peace offering and they offered their sin offering, their burnt offering. And I lost two sons. And I'm not mentally in a place before Yah, and my sons aren't. They just lost two brothers. Sin offering, did it have been accepted in the sight of Yah with me being in this state? Because of the sin offerings of his sons, the priesthood, would the sin offering of the people been accepted before Yah? That's what he's asking. The priesthood is in sin. But when one sin, it goes upon all of them. Two of them died. That's why when we look at Achan, when he stole the thing that was not prohibited, and he brought it into the camp. The Most High said Israel sinned, not just one man, but the whole camp. The priesthood sinned. He says, now, if we are in sin and we try to make an atonement for the people, will Yah accept it? And Moses was content when he heard that. Okay, then I can accept that you didn't eat the sin offering, because you would have been out of order in here. Let me close my door. Give me one second. So Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 45. Leviticus chapter 11, starting in verse 45. For I am Yah that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Now, this is what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 is referring to. For it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Most High told Israel, I am Yah that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of beast and of fowl and of fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the water and of every creature that creeps upon the earth to make a difference between unclean and clean. And between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. When you eat an unclean beast, an unclean anything, you have sinned. It's not just a matter of you ate something unclean. You have sinned. And I'm not going to go into the dietary laws on this morning. We'll do that another day. But just understand, there was to be made a difference between the clean and the unclean. What you may eat and what you may not eat. Those things haven't changed today. But people teach that they do. He's sending you back from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, back to Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. It is written. So you want to understand what it means to be holy, what it means to be clean and unclean? You got to come back to the law. You got to come back to the statute to understand what it means to be clean and holy. You can't make this up on your own. Can't do what you think is right. Can't take the scriptures that are in the New Testament and misinterpret them. Because when he sends you back into the law and everything refers back to the law, I will write my laws, the new covenant, I will write my laws in your heart. But then when people don't want to go back into the law to see what's required, they just want to take the New Testament and say, see, it says we're not up under the law. You can't judge me for eating this meat. No understanding. Go to Leviticus chapter 12. We'll deal with the unclean animals another time, the dietary laws. Because if you eat something that makes you unclean, it makes you unholy. But also to teach the nations. We serve a holy Elohim. This is how you are to be holy with him. But somehow when we get into the New Testament, then, oh, these things don't apply to the Gentiles. They don't apply to any of the New Testament saints. It's a lie. He would not have pointed us back to this if it didn't apply. He'd have disregarded. He'd say, hey, guard what I said about being holy and unholy. These are my new standards for being holy. He simply says, it is written. So then you got to go back and find where it is written. Leviticus chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Leviticus chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation for her infirmity, shall she be unclean. Now, she just had a baby, and she's in an unclean state. And you might say, well, she had a baby, she got pregnant, we're told to do that. But so that Most High can declare that all men have sinned, he does this. So you can't say that you haven't sinned. You can't say that I'm perfect. The mere fact that there's blood makes you unclean. In this case, it's a woman. She shall be unclean. She shall be in sin. And in the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Now, why they stuck that in there right there, I can't say. We're talking about the male child and her conceiving a male child. And the eighth day, the male child is to be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, no holy thing. Can't go into the sanctuary. Can't touch anything in the house that she considers and treats as holy. Nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. So whether it's your monthly cycle or whether it's when you had a kid, because there is blood, you are unclean. And you cannot touch any holy thing. Your prayer cloth, your Bible. Any of those things, because if you do while you're in an unclean state, you make them unclean. Until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks rather than 1 week in the days of her separation. And she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. You got to ask, where did she sin? She sinned because she was in an unclean state. That's why I went there first. Is this due to any, is this because of anything? This is just nature. But the Most High says she's unclean. And she's in sin. For a sin offering, and unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before Yah and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law of her that has borne a male or a female. So to be holy in the eyes of the Most High, a woman who has had a child, that 6 weeks wasn't just so that her body could mend and heal. That's part of it. That's what the world teaches today. She's still bleeding that time. Her body's healing. But spiritually, she's also unclean, and spiritually, she is in sin for having a child. Now, it might be tight, but it's right. You read it yourself. Brother Miles is not making this up. He's not giving you his interpretation. Just continue. Verse 8. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons, the one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Because all this time she's been what? Unclean. And she's been in sin. So a holy woman has to know these things. And a holy woman has to teach her daughter. Population. Let's look at the man. Because It used to be a teaching that you could have sex on Sabbath. And the marriage bed is not defiled. And people were believing this thing. And I knew, you know, even going to church, people would get up on Sunday morning and have sex and then go to church and not think anything of it. Going into the sanctuary, not realizing that they are in an unclean state and they are in a sinful state before the Most High. So let's read this. Leviticus chapter 15, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when any man has a running issue out of his flesh, because of an issue he is unclean. This is whether it's some pus-filled sore that's oozing, or if it's semen. It's a running issue. And he is unclean. And this shall be his uncleanness in his issue. Whether his flesh run with his issue or his flesh has to be stopped from this issue, it is his uncleanliness. Every bed, because see, we put this on the woman, but there's a time when everything that a man touches is unclean. Every bed whereupon he lies that he has the issue is unclean. Everything where he sitteth shall be unclean. And whosoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes in water and be unclean until the evening. And he that sitteth upon anything whereupon he sat that he has the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And he that touches the flesh of him that has the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. And he that has the issue, and if he that has the issue, spit upon him that is clean. Because if you are unclean, any part about you is unclean. If he spit on him that is clean, then he shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. And what saddle, wherever he sits, soever he rideth upon, and he sits, the issue shall be unclean. Your car, your bicycle, the chair in the living room, your bed, the kitchen table. Anything that he touches is unclean. And whosoever touches it is unclean. All in sin. And have to wash. And you're still unclean until the evening. So when you find yourself in that condition, you cannot touch any hallowed thing. Cannot go into the sanctuary. Verse 10, and whosoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until the evening. And he that beareth any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And whomsoever he touches that has the issue and has not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And the vessel of earth that he has touched, which has the issue, shall be broken if it's an earthen vessel. And every vessel of wood shall be rinsed with water. And when he that has the issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days. 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and he shall be cleaned. And on the 8th day, he shall take to him 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons, and come before Yah at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and give them unto offer them one for a sin offering. And the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before Yah for his issue. because he was unclean. He is in sin. That's why the sin offering has to be made. And if any man's seed of copulation, sex, go out from him, then he shall wash all his flesh in water and be unclean until the evening. And every garment and every skin whereupon is the seed of copulation shall be washed with water and be unclean until the evening. And the woman also with whom the man shall lie with, seed of copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water and be unclean until the evening. So you have sex with your wife. And it's the Sabbath. It's the start of the Sabbath. You are unclean the whole Sabbath. You cannot touch any holy thing. You cannot come before the Most High. It is actually a death sentence. But you're to wash, and you're unclean until that evening. So 6 p.m., 7 o'clock, Friday evening, Sabbath has started. Y'all do the Sabbath lesson. It's night. The kids are going to sleep. Y'all go get busy. You can't do anything the rest of the Sabbath. Not holy. You might as well get busy the rest of the Sabbath because you can't touch any holy thing. You have made yourself unclean. You are in sin. And you are in an unholy state as far as the Most High is concerned. It's Friday during the day of preparation. Y'all get busy. And you are unclean. You're supposed to wash it, and you're unclean until the Sabbath starts. The evening, then you can enter into the Sabbath, and you're not unclean if you wash and do what the Most High said to do. So if you're going to do it before Sabbath starts, wash, and then you can enter into the Sabbath and take part of the holy thing. But don't do it during Sabbath, because now you're unholy. You can't go into the sanctuary. You can't get into the pulpit. You can't teach. You can't take part. You can't come before the Most High because you're in an unclean state. Pray we get this because we want to know how to be holy before the Most High. Be ye holy, for I am holy. He tells us exactly what we have to do. And it don't change. Because Messiah has come and died for our sins and fulfilled the law. He pointed us back to the law. Verse 19, and if a woman have an issue, and her issue be in her flesh, be blood, and she shall be, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. And everything that she lies upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean, just like with the man. And whosoever touches her bed shall wash and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And whosoever touches anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and be himself and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And if it be on her bed or anything that whereupon she sitteth, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until the evening. And if any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon her, she's on her cycle, and he lies with her. This is a special thing. He shall be unclean 7 days. Not just until the evening, 7 days. And all the bed whereupon he lies shall be unclean 7 days. And if a woman have an issue of her blood, many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation. In other words, you know, we have women that have issues that they bleed beyond the time. All the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Every bed whereupon she lies, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. Sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever touches those things shall be unclean and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And but if she cleanse her issue, then she shall number to herself another 7 days. After she cleansed up, you know, stop bleeding. And she shall be clean. Now, I know people think that once a woman's cycle is off, that they can go in and have sex. Can, but realize that you are unclean. The man and the woman. She's got a period after she stops that she's unclean. Not just the day that she stops bleeding. She shall number unto herself 7 days. And after that, she shall be clean. And on the eighth day, she shall take unto her 2 turtle doves and two young pigeons and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her before Yah for the issue of her uncleanliness. Thus shall you separate the children of Israel from their uncleanliness, that they die not in their uncleanliness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. So he says, not even supposed to go into the tabernacle. Not supposed to touch any hallowed thing. That the children of Israel, then shall you separate the children of Israel from their uncleanliness, that they die not in their uncleanliness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. This is the law of him that has an issue, and of him whose seed goeth from him, and it defileth therewith. And of her that is sick of her flowers, and of him that has an issue, and of the man, and of the woman, and of that lieth with her that is unclean. So when he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, keep it clean. Don't have sex and then try to keep Sabbath. Don't be suffering from an issue of blood or be in an unclean state and try to keep Sabbath. You still don't do anything on Sabbath, but you don't touch any holy thing either. You will have made the holy thing unclean. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Keep it clean. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, having sex on my holy day, doing what you want to do on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, holy of Yah, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. So when we're having sex, it's for pleasure. At least I hope for most of us who are dating, it was for pleasure, so don't seek your pleasure on this holy day. because it makes you unclean. It makes you pollute the Sabbath. Look at the penalty for this. If there was a penalty, go back to Leviticus chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7, starting in verse 20. But the soul that eats of the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering, as you ate of the sacrifice of the priest offerings and the priest did too, pertaining to Yah, having his uncleanliness, underline that, having his uncleanliness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. And we know that this word cut off means to be killed. In the New Testament, it means that you're not supposed to have anything to do with this person. They don't have any respect of the word of Yah. They have no respect for Yah himself. They think that they can come before Yah in any condition. Only if it's in ignorance. And then he says, your iniquity shall still be upon you. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, verse 21, as the uncleanness of man, or as the uncleanness of beast, or any abominable unclean thing, and eat the flesh of sacrifices of the peace offering, which pertaineth to Yah, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Touch any unclean thing. That goes as far as eating any unclean thing. If you touched it, to eat it. Be ye holy, for I am holy. The church believes that it is presenting itself to the Most High and practicing these things, and think that it's acceptable. But maybe now we can understand the scriptures where he's saying, many are called, but few are chosen. Why? Because people won't even take the time to find out what is holy and what is not holy, what is clean and what is not clean. They just want to try to take it the easy way out and lump it all up under, he died for my sins. Again, if he did not intend for us to keep these, he would not have said, it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. He would not have pointed us back to the law. In all the scriptures that we have that appear to be telling people that it's okay to do this, they're reading those scriptures without understanding. But they're written that way to show what's in your heart. That's the test in the New Testament, just like the Most High said. I'm going to leave some nations in the land, in the Holy Land. I'm not going to kill them all for you. Number one, I want to see if you're going to do it like I told you to. But number two, I want to see if you're going to follow after their God to prove you if you will obey my commandments or not. When we come into the New Testament is written in such a way to prove you what's in your heart. Is it in your heart to obey the Most High? Or is it in your heart to worship him liberally, like Nadab and Abihu? Is it in your heart to be holy? Or is it in your heart to pretend to be holy and you are unclean? You are unholy. Because, see, if it's in your heart to be that thing, you will find out what it takes to be that thing and become it. You will come out of your ignorance. And you will realize that even doing it in ignorance, you are still in sin and you will still be held accountable. And the Most High won't wink at it. Because when judgment time comes, hear this, when judgment comes, when he returns to the day that he is appointed, if you are in sin, whether it is willful sin or ignorant sin, you are in sin and you shall receive the judgment according to your sin. Because he says, even if you're doing it in ignorance, your iniquity shall remain upon you. Your sin shall remain upon you. He didn't say you get a pass. He said you can be forgiven if you confess it because you were doing it in ignorance. You can be forgiven. But if you die in your ignorance, there's no forgiveness for that. You died in your sin. You died guilty. You died clean. You died unholy. He's not going to resurrect you and say, oh, you did that unknowingly. You are forgiven. That's not what he said. That your iniquity shall remain upon you. Now, if he chooses to have mercy upon you at that time, that's in his realm. Because I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And whom I won't have mercy upon, I will not have mercy upon them. In other words, it's up to me. If I were you, I would not take that chance. I would not live my life upon that. Because it's very few people, really only one, in the scripture that he made an exception for. And he says that was David. One, Moses made one mistake and didn't get to enter into the promised land. David had somebody killed, and the Most High says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I would err on the side of holiness. Let your walk be on that side, because to take the walk on the other side, if you truly do not want to go to the lake, you won't take the side and say, well, you know, yeah, have mercy on me. Because he don't have to, and the scriptures prove more than over and over again, you have to be the extreme exception. The chances are 1 in 7 or 8 billion that he has mercy on you. However many people were in the world in David's day, that was the odds. 1 in 2 billion. 1 in 1 million. Today, you will be 1 in 7 or 8 billion people that he would choose to have mercy on. If you like those odds, go for it. Because the odds are stacked against you. If you truly want to make it into the kingdom in peace with him, then learn to live in peace with him. Learn to live holy. Learn not to do those things that are unholy. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again on this evening for spiritual wellness, remember, I love you, but I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. I can only show you what thus saith the word of Elohim. You either believe it, what you read, or you don't. Fear Yah and keep the commandments, saints. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. Shalom.
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, our perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe, and everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, are perfect, and his kingdom will reign.
See you guys this evening.
Okay.